Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
You said you support an assault weapons ban and universal background checks, and we actually learned during the debate that you are a gun owner. Mm-hmm. But in cities like Philadelphia, handguns are responsible for most homicides and violent crime. The most recent FBI data shows handguns were involved in 59% of murders in our country. How will you address the issue of the use of handguns? Because a push for an assault weapons ban only addresses a significant but small part of the problem.
This is actually a really interesting question. This was at the National Association of Black Journalists, where a panel of three journalists were interviewing Kamala Harris in one of her few known to exist live interviews. Not a press conference, by the way. She has not done a press conference. I think since Biden got named, she hasn't done a press conference, if I'm not mistaken about that. But if she has, I mean, it's skipped by me. You know, an actual press conference where she doesn't, I mean, even if she got given a sheet of paper with all of the pictures of the reporters she was supposed to call on in order and what questions they were going to ask, like Biden does when he was doing press conferences, that would still be at least be a press conference, right? But no, hasn't done that. But she did sit down with these black journalists. And by the way, Trump has apparently agreed to as well. First time in 24 years that's happened. So cool. You know, I mean, that's good. So you have questions by the black journalists, and you might say, well, that's a super friendly environment for her. They're going to ask her softballs. No, they actually asked her really good questions. They did their part, and they pressed her when she did her what is now all too standard response to questions, which is to A, not answer them, and then B, when pressed, repeat her non-answers. Because she's apparently her campaign has given her the advice that the senator, Kamala Harris from California, should, and vice president, I guess. I keep forgetting that she's actually the vice president. Who knew? Her best strategy to get elected is to date without giving information. You know, don't tell anybody who she is anymore. Just hope that they hate Trump enough that they can misrepresent him or represent him. And then she can just skate through on not answering questions. That's kind of been their approach. Okay, so the actual answer. Yeah, I mean, this is a good question. You favor an assault weapons ban, but most crimes are actually committed with handguns. The vast majority of, you know, shootings, even school shootings, okay, murders, suicides, certainly a super high percentage, right? You know, people aren't committing suicide with AR-15s or SKSs or anything like that for sort of obvious reasons. How do you plan to address that? So what would a good answer to this be for somebody who believes in an assault weapons ban? What would your best answer be? There's a really easy answer to this question. We're going to start with what we can do, right? I mean, that's the easy answer. We're going to start with assault weapons, and later on, we'll see what we can do with handguns. Or here are some of the things we're going to... Now, I'm not saying these are my answers. I'm saying, if you were somebody who believed in gun control, that would be your answer, right? It's actually a really easy answer to give. So what did she say?
First of all, yes, I am a gun owner, and Tim Walz is a gun owner, and we're not trying to take anybody's guns away from them.
Well, not trying to take anybody's guns away from them, but you do believe in an assault weapons ban, so literally, by definition, you believe in taking people's guns away from them. Not all of them, perhaps. Not even the most of them, perhaps. But if you believe in making these so-called weapons of war illegal, you by definition believe in taking... Or maybe you think, well, we can't take away, we can only prohibit the future sale. Okay, well, you can say that, but that's not what she believes. She wants to get rid of the guns, right? The fact that they exist out there is still a problem. Also, am I the only one who was thinking, what kind of gun you own? Okay, you want to style yourself and Tim Walz as gun owners, and okay, fine, I don't know whether you do or don't, but, you know, if somebody says to you, somebody says to me, Andrew, you know, do you actually own guns? You say you believe in the segment, got a couple of handguns, two Glocks, and, you know, some other miscellaneous things I, like, inherited from my grandfather that aren't of any significance whatsoever, but I'm a pistol. I don't have any rifles, but I'm a pistol guy and I like Glocks. That's an easy question to answer. And she hasn't really been forthcoming about this. I don't know why. It seems like the kind of thing that if you're trying to prove to people that you own guns, you would say, you know, I've got a shotgun or my husband's got a 22. And maybe the answer is, well, you know, we've got something that would make her look, yeah, we own guns. And he's got a 22 revolver, you know, like, oh, well, you know, okay, fine, whatever. But she doesn't answer that. She keeps going.
But we do need an assault weapons ban. Assault weapons are designed to kill a lot of human beings quickly.
Yes,
and have no place,
ban.
And
yes.
Have no place, I'm gonna get to it.
Yes.
And have no place on the streets of a civil society.
There's a weird kind of arrogance with her that, you know, she's in sort of friendly territory here. And yet this kind of happened several times during the interview, a little bit scoldy towards the other African-American journalists asking her questions, you know? I'll get to it, honey. You just hang on, right?
Designed to kill a lot of human beings quickly.
Yes,
and have no place,
ban.
And
yes.
Have no place. I'm going to get to it.
Yes.
I don't know, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm being overly critical, but that's what I heard, okay?
We need universal background checks, which, to your point about handguns, is about saying that it is just reasonable to want reasonable gun safety laws that say we should do background checks, that we ought to know. It's just reasonable. You might want to know before someone can buy a lethal weapon if they've been found by a court to be a danger to themselves or others. You might just want to know.
And respectfully, we do understand that.
But you're asking
yes.
about...
I'm asking specifically about handguns, because many of those handguns are purchased in places.
Universal background checks apply to handguns.
Yes.
They do.
But in many instances, those handguns aren't even bought lawfully. Yes.
Which is why I also have been very adamant for years. In fact, I myself protested at a gun show probably 10, 15 years ago, about the gun show loophole and why we need to close that.
You know, when she gets asked a question that she doesn't know how to answer, she pivots very skillfully, okay, pivots to giving an answer to a question she wasn't asked. Well, what about the guns that are transferred illegally or stolen? Well, I protested at a gun show against the gun show loophole. Oh, yeah, but I didn't ask about that. That's a legal sales process where people legally buy guns. I was asking about people who buy guns illegally or who steal guns. What about that? So, you know, just as, and again, I think these are hard problems. I'm not pretending that there's some easy answer. I just think it's weird that she won't answer the question she's actually asked. And universal background checks is something that, you know, certainly she believes in. A lot of people do believe in that. And, you know, it would increase the level of scrutiny against people who might have, you know, domestic violence orders against them or felony convictions or something like that. And so in that context, talking about the gun show loophole, by the way, I mean, you know, registered gun sellers still have to perform the background checks even at gun shows. You're just talking about private individuals, but private individuals can sell guns, you know, a lot of different ways. And that's been a conversation, you know, should private individuals have to submit to background checks, or should you have to sort of certify your private sale through a registered gun seller somehow or other? I mean, those are proposals that are on the table. But again, that doesn't address the question she was asked about stolen guns or illegally, you know, acquired guns. And she just wants to, I don't know, word salad her way through until the end, because that's what it seems like a lot of the time. Kamala Harris has a weird, and I haven't decided whether, I don't know whether to say this is just personal foible, odd communication strategy, which you don't want to hold too much against a person, in fairness. You know, somebody who stumbles over words, somebody who mispronounces things, that can be entertaining, but that's not really a substantial objection to their capability of ruling, right? Likewise, she does have a habit of finding herself in the middle of a sentence and not quite knowing how to get out of it and feeling like she's always just a little bit at war with the English language and sort of making it up as she goes. with a weird blend of verbal uncertainty and arrogance. I'm not sure how to describe it. It's a weird thing when it's on display. It comes out sounding like gibberish, but not the kind of rambling, mentally deficient gibberish you'd get from, say, President Biden when he's been showing his signs of age. This is sort of, I don't know, eloquent gibberish? Maybe is a way to think of it. Here, I'm going to play a clip for you so you kind of understand.
Is the work that we need to do that is about putting resources into communities around violence prevention. I've been a big advocate of that for years, which includes what we need to do around putting resources into community-based intervention that is not just requiring on the good people in the community to volunteer to do the intervention, but actually paying people to do it because it's a full-time job.
Here we go.
It's about understanding what we need to do to, again, understand that, to your point, we have to have a holistic response to this issue and prioritize it instead of reacting to the tragedy that, sadly, they are too predictable. Let's all agree, enough of that. There are very few solutions that we haven't thought of. We need to put the resources into them.
What? Like, I don't even know what was said. And I used to teach college philosophy, so I've seen a lot of student papers on various subjects. And every once in a while, you get that student that is trying to hide the fact that they don't know what they're talking about by using either complicated phrases or, you know, $10 vocabulary. Or somebody who's just trying to bluster it through. Or somebody who actually thinks that using more complicated phraseology is a way of demonstrating competence when people who actually know what words mean and how the ideas hang together and what a sentence should sound like recognize it as exactly that. I can't figure it out. I don't know if it's the kind of problem where if somebody's really smart, you always get this interesting sense that when they're asked a question, you scratch the surface at first and then you ask them a question, you find out there's more under there and then there's more under there and there's more under there. They've thought these things through. They have answers and they're giving you sort of interesting analysis and bringing more to the table every time. With Kamala Harris, I genuinely believe that every time you scratch the superficial answer, there's nothing else under there. So that's why she gives you a repackaged, often poorly repackaged version of the same superficial answer, because there isn't this underlying structure of deep thought, research, and analysis and nuance to understand a problem. It's just say the same salad of words again. Now, I know that sounds kind of uncharitable for somebody who was the Attorney General of California and for somebody who was a United States Senator and is the Vice President and the nominee for the Democratic Party, but I'm telling you that's what I hear when I listen to her talk. And it's not just from this example. It's from her answers or non-answers on Israel policy, on Springfield, Ohio, on abortion, on a whole range of topics that she was asked about the other day. And I think I know why she's avoiding the live challenging press conferences. Because when she gets asked and then pressed or fact-checked, there's nothing under there. I will tell you this. I appreciated that Politico did a real-time fact-checking of her doing this NABJ panel sort of style interview. And all the things that I knew she was lying about, they called her out for. You know, she repeated the lie about how the unemployment they inherited from President Trump was the worst since the Great Depression. And they made a post on how, well, that's just false. That's just plain false. Unemployment was high during the height of COVID in spring of 2020, and then it got brought way back down by the time he left office, and then it's been lower since, but they did not inherit Great Depression-era unemployment by any stretch of the imagination, or the brag about having the lowest black unemployment in history, which is true, but Trump had record low unemployment for black Americans as well, and they managed to lower it in part of the overall trend. What I would say was inheriting a surging economy from which they have benefited tremendously. But okay, either way, you know, I thought Politico did a good job of fact-checking and calling her on that, among other things that she said that were just false. And fact-checking her on things that she got right. And I will say this just because I know that folks who are Democrats, if they're still listening or, you know, either Democrats or opponents of Trump who are going to vote for Harris or whatever. You say, well, Andrew, compared to the other guy. Oh, trust me, I know. Of course, I understand. You give me a speech by Trump or an interview set by Trump, and I'm going to come up with a list of all the stupid things he said and all the lies he said and the exaggerations and, you know, the evasions. Yes, of course. So you're kind of left asking the question, well, you know, which one, right? Of course, I totally understand. But remember that the brand Kamala Harris is selling, that the Democrats are selling with Kamala Harris, is capable, smart, informed, reliable, always tells the truth, doesn't exaggerate, understands the issues, does the reasonable thing. Okay, that's not brand Trump, right? I mean, they're not even trying to sell that brand. So is it more of a problem when Trump does some of these things, or is it more of a problem when Harris does these things and tries to tell you that she doesn't ever do these things? Well, you know, you're the voter. You decide, right? 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sweet chocolate reward. Sweet chocolate reward.
This is not just the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat at Walgreens. This is the sound of someone picking up a sweet treat right after receiving all their vaccines in one trip. This is the sound of treating yourself because you protected yourself.
Stop by or schedule both your flu and COVID-19 vaccines today and grab yourself a sweet treat while you're at it. Vaccine subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
What's up, Florida State?
How you do it is equally as important.
Mike Norvell and Florida State host the California Golden Bears this Saturday for a primetime ACC matchup on the Seminole Sports Network.
California versus FSU at 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pepsi-Cola Hardware, All Season Service Network, A1 Auto Diesel Repair, DeFranco Gas, and Calvert's in the Heights.
Let's go, Florida State!
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're out?
Yeah.
Wow, that was fast.
Good morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, certified walkie-talkie and pager-free. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David? Just want to make sure everybody knows.
Nope.
We don't have walkie-talkies or pagers.
No pagers in this newsroom.
Yeah, we're all good.
I got rid of them all. Former President Trump held a rally yesterday in New York. Andrew, it was the first rally he's held since the assassination attempt this last weekend. Security was tight at the event. It was held in Long Island. There were protests, of course, and initially there were some reports that there were explosives found near the site, but later in the day, officials in New York said that those reports were actually false. The Federal Reserve cutting interest rates yesterday for the first time in more than 4 years. They cut rates by half a point. That decision lowers the federal funds rate to a range between 4.75 to 5%. Of course, the Fed had maintained a goal of seeing inflation get down to 2% before moving to rate cuts.
So now homes are free, right? Isn't that's the lesson? Homes are free now?
If so, I'm refinancing. That sounds like a good deal.
No, all of this stuff takes a while to percolate through and, you know, don't expect any big changes. In fact, the markets already knew this was coming, so they had baked this expectation into everything else. So don't expect big changes anytime soon.
Right. It takes a while for that to happen. And Jill Biden hosting a West Wing cast reunion at the White House this week. Apparently, it's the 25th anniversary of that show's premiere, which ran from 1999 to 2006.
Egads. 25 years since The West Wing?
Yeah.
Oh, I just need to sit down. That's not right. Oh, thanks for this year old alert, David. Wow.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not. John, did that how'd that sit for you? Because it's the your old if our posts are all over social media.
Oh yeah.
So we're constantly reminded that we're not, you know, spring kids chickens. Anymore. Yeah. But you don't need to rub it in.
No.
But it's the unexpected one, right? It's the, you know, hey, guess what? This person's 60. Shut up.
Oh, no way.
Jeez. You know, but West Wing was 25 years ago.
I can't believe that.
Oh, man. That's like the Back to the Future one. You know, if they went back to the future that same amount of years from today, it would be 1994.
No. News. I'm Chris Foster. For the first time since 1996, the Teamsters Union is not endorsing a presidential candidate. The executive board vote 3 for Vice President Harris, none for former President Trump, 14 for neither. Trump has the support, though, of 58% of union members.
I was honored to receive the endorsement of the rank-and-file membership of the Teamsters. I love the Teamsters.
Trump there at a rally on Long Island, New York.
In a statement, the Harris team said when she's elected president, she will look out for the Teamsters' rank and file no matter what, because they always have been and always will be the people she fights for.
Fox's Kevin Cork. The House votes 220 to 202 against a federal funding extension with a measure requiring proof of citizenship for voter registration. Speaker Mike Johnson.
I'm disappointed. I know this was the right thing to do, and I think the American people are going to let a lot of the folks that voted no tonight hear their concerns about it.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 72 degrees here in Pensacola. It is partly cloudy this morning. The American Magic sailing team making a comeback in the America's Cup semifinals. They secured 2 wins over Italy yesterday. They'll need 2 more today to move on to the finals. Mayor D.C. Reeves says he's watching the races closely.
You can go on ESPN Plus and watch it, folks out there. But yeah, they've got a long road ahead for them to battle back, but they're still alive.
And Mayor Reeves says that the winner of the America's Cup gets to make all of the decisions for next year's race. So if the Magic were to defeat Italy twice today, go on to win the finals, then defeat the defending champions New Zealand, the America's Cup could be held next in Pensacola. Police in Flemington say they're looking for a man suspected of assault and attempted robbery. Police say they're searching for Christopher Moody. He was accused of attacking and trying to rob a woman near Railroad Street and MLK Jr. Boulevard Tuesday. Moody wanted on felony warrants. If you have information, contact police in Flemington. A 53-year-old man accused of trying to kidnap 2 kids in Escambia County last weekend. Deputies say those kids were playing near an entrance to a trailer park at Flaxman and 57th. George Carpenter Jr. allegedly approached the kids, offered a 6-year-old girl candy. He's then alleged to have grabbed the girl by the arm, but she got away. The girl's 8-year-old brother told the man she didn't want his treats. Deputies say that he then grabbed the boy by his arm, but he also got away. Carpenter Jr. was later located at a nearby homeless camp. He remains in jail now on $401,000 bond. The Federal Reserve announcing that half-point rate cut yesterday. University of Central Florida economist Sean Snaith thinks it might be a bit too aggressive.
I think a half-point is an aggressive start to this cycle of easing monetary policy, especially when we haven't achieved the inflation target yet.
And Dr. Snaith says the move suggests the central bank is more concerned about a recession than it is inflation taking off again. It's the first interest rate cut in 4 years now. Marco Rubio is wondering if Iran has something to do with the attempts on Donald Trump's life. Senator Rubio was on Fox News last night to discuss the assassination attempts, the most recent, of course, taking place Sunday in Palm Beach County at Trump's golf course. Rubio says Iran has said openly it intends to assassinate Trump, and Rubio says he doesn't think we can rule out the possibility that it would hire a criminal organization or a whack job to do that. Rubio also criticized the Biden administration for negotiating with Iran over a nuclear deal in the midst of all of that. And a rapper from Cuba now facing a road rage charge, that is, in South Florida. Ovidio Crespo Rata He performs as Ovi. He was charged yesterday with aggravated assault with a firearm, and FHP says the 28-year-old was driving in Miami-Dade when he pointed a gun at another driver after that driver had honked his horn at him for cutting him off. Troopers say the victim caught the incident on video. Crespo Roderita was arrested on Tuesday. It is 5:35 here, News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have plenty of sunshine today with a high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping the sunny forecast around for that Friday, high near 90 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Sunshine through the weekend, high on Saturday near 88, low near 72. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we do have 72 degrees in Pensacola. It is 74 in Gulf Breeze and 74 also in Milton. And your next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Federal Reserve has cut interest rates by half a percentage point amid signs that inflation is cooling. The decision lowers the federal funds rate to a range between 4.75% and 5%. The central bank has also projected it will lower rates by another half a point before the end of the year. The Fed's two remaining meetings for the year are scheduled for the beginning of November and mid-December. The Biden administration has extended its review of Nippon Steel's proposed $14.9 billion acquisition of U.S. Steel, effectively pushing the final decision past Election Day. Officials have also permitted Nippon Steel to resubmit its application for a national security review. President Biden had been preparing to announce that he would block the transaction, but has since reconsidered over the potential economic and political consequences if the deal falls through. Futures are sharply higher after the Fed cut interest rates. That's Your Money Now.
Anderson Subaru has more Subarus than ever before, which makes this the perfect time to get the Subaru that you've always wanted. How about an Outback starting at $26,802? Crosstrek starting at $25,262? Or a Forester starting at $29,378. You'll love your new Subaru, and now you'll love the savings. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app. It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Mayor is suggesting that the city not keep the $1.8 million the Children's Trust Fund owes to the CRA. I think that is the right thing to do. I really applaud him. Sorry he's not here for me to personally thank him. I'm just so heartened to hear that the mayor wants to use the funds that are due back to our CRA, $1.8 million, to help these schools.
So that's Sherry Myers, City Councilwoman Sherry Myers, talking during the last Pensacola City Council meeting about Mayor D.C. Reeves, who was not able to be there, but, you know, about his decision to partner with the Escambia Children's Trust, in contrast with how the county has decided to just take the money back from them and not to partner with them in what I think is a money grab. But Julian McQueen, I think yesterday I said Quint Studer, but Julian McQueen wrote a, you know, opinion piece for the PNJ about how this was exactly a mistake and a violation of the purpose that we actually put the Escambia Children's Trust in place to accomplish. So we talked with this a little bit about this a little bit with Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry I wasn't there either.
I know. You know, can I tell you you'll appreciate this. I actually ran into Sherry at Walmart, because as you do, and I was talking with her a little bit, and I told her I thought it was really sweet of her to, you know, because you guys have disagreed about some things. And she said, and you texted her back, thank you immediately, which I thought was also very, you know, like, I love to hear all that kind of stuff. That's all good stuff.
Yeah, we get along great. Honestly, we do. You know, we don't always agree, or maybe hardly, but sometimes, but you know, anybody in public service for a long time and can't question her passion. No question about that. So,
absolutely.
I always have a lot of respect for Sherry.
And you know, it's funny. I always say the same thing. I say she's such a sweetheart. I just don't ever agree with her. You know. So be it. Oh, by the way, Julie McQueen wrote the piece, not Quint Studer. I apologize. I got my local leaders mixed up for a second. Let's do talk about something though, because you know, obviously, your dad, Jim Reeves, to whom you're not accountable, and you know, and for whom you're not accountable. I mean, I get that, but you know, he wrote this pretty scathing opinion piece about the sports complex proposed for cantonment that the TDC approved, which I have also been very scathing in my criticism of the location primarily. But you've weighed in a little bit on this. You talked about it a little bit yesterday, but I think it's part of a bigger issue, which is city representation on joint commissions like the TDC. So maybe just take a moment and talk about your view of the project and why this brings up a bigger issue for the way these governmental bodies are structured.
Yeah. So first and foremost, you know, I said in my press conference yesterday, you've mentioned on here many times, you know, spent more of my professional career in journalism and sports writing probably than anything. Maybe it's maybe that fact is expiring now, but you know, well over a decade doing that. And I spent lots of hours in facilities like being proposed. And you can see the economic value when they're well run, and you know, thousands of parents and kids, and so philosophically, I'm there. You know, whether it's that or it's a conference center, I'm there philosophically. If we can, but I just believe we have to make a business case for it, and the city will never make money. It's kind of like when the Osceola Golf Course gets picked on because it doesn't make money. And my retort is always, well, how much money does Bayview Park make? You know, I mean, right. Sometimes it's an amenity that just doesn't. You want an operation to make money. That being said, you know, for the city of Pensacola, you know, that location doesn't really do much for the city of Pensacola. And what I mean is, you know, folks are either going to stay out, you know, 10 miles north of town, or they'll stay at the beach, and you know, they may wave to us on the way to I-110. But other than that, in terms of helping our local businesses and all that, I think I would like to see a new location. And to your final point, you know, we still have PEDC as an example. TDC, that handles the bed tax, is another example.
Just for people who may not know, the Economic Development Commission that handles economic development that spun off of the chamber several years ago. Go ahead. I just don't want people to be lost in the acronym.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, so those two boards in particular, by no fault of any council member, you know, no one's done anything wrong. It's just left over from the old former government. The elected city representation is council members only, no operation. And, you know, I used the example at my press conference about if we get the USS United States, where is that boat going to go? It's going to go to the port. And no city council member is involved in any day-to-day operation. So, you know, I applaud Kenyatta for what she said about us, you know, us not being well represented and not having a chance to be. I appreciate her saying that and defending the city in that way. Casey Jones does a great job. So no indictment of the two of them at all. But the reality is what we should have for these millions of dollars that is
we should be able to, the operation of the city should be able to advocate for projects, should be able to ask questions, to bring concerns that you couldn't ever expect two part-time council members with eight other assignments to know. And so I just think it's crystal clear to me, and I don't think we would see a lot of protests from our side of government on that either. You know, I don't think anybody's taking any offense to that. So I think that this issue just highlighted that, is that, you know, where is the operation of the city's seat at the table for conversations about $90 million?
No, it's a great point. And you know, putting aside how on earth we got a TDC special meeting to spend, you know, $90 million or to bond $90 million was scheduled at the same time as the city council agenda review, which is unbelievable. But, you know, it really highlighted the point and the poignancy of who should be the best representative. So going a step further, I mean, are you looking to get city administration representation on TPO?
Possibly. I think we're going to look at all of them,
okay.
You know, because obviously those take legislative action. Those are not just,
right,
you know, board decisions. So I think we're going to look at all of those where it makes sense. And again, I think that these are pre-2010 decisions that the city's just never taken the time to analyze and you
right.
know, review. So.
Right.
You know, I think it's time now.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, just kind of thinking through that, you know, it seems to me like no offense to the city council who's on the transportation planning organization, but it makes more sense to have David Forte in that room than either of them, you know, so.
Right.
Obviously, the big news over the last 2 days has been the selection of Tim Kinsliff, retired captain, Navy captain who commanded the base for 3 years and, of course, has now been working at UWF, that he is going to be your city administrator, taking the job full time. I've said it several times this morning in the context of other conversations, but congratulations is a huge get. It's a big win. Question, though, when does he take over, and does this have to go to council for approval? Because all your director-level selections have to go to council. Does this have to go to council?
Yeah, it does not. This is the one job outlined in the charter that the mayor can pick at his or her sole discretion. So, so this will not go to council. So it is official. And his first day will be September 30th. So,
gotcha. Okay.
You know, and on top of all of, you know, we could put up, it's such an honor to have him on our team. And I know he's going to make me a better mayor. Certainly he's going to make this a better city. I have no doubt about that. But when you, I mean, even set that aside for a second, to have someone who's already well known in the community, who knows the people that we're involved with, the organizations we're involved with, to have that kind of head start in this job, no matter who it is. I mean, that honestly probably gains us a year. I mean, just in that respect, as opposed to someone from out of town that would have to come in and then learn and all of that kind of thing, you know? So, if we were just comparing apples to apples, you know, having someone that has his credibility and reputation already is going to have his head, but I don't think it would have mattered what national search took place or how many national searches we did. I think we have the best candidate we could possibly ask for.
Yeah, I mean, and I was not the only one, I think, who at once upon a time spitballed that maybe Tim would run for mayor, you know, run for the job that you currently have. And, you know, who better to have as city administrator than somebody who'd be, you know, probably good at the job and obviously has the administrative experience to run big facilities, which, you know, we know he's done that at NAS Pensacola. A quick question. I have things that I never get to talk with you about, and we're not going to have time to do today. It's just always frustrating to me, but we will eventually. The Gibson School announcement, that's a big announcement, right? What are you going to do with this project?
Yeah, so we got school board approval yesterday to go under contract. I believe we've got some due diligence time. I know we have some due diligence time to look at the state of the building. Obviously, the goal number one is to save a piece of history in our city. That's on the 11 to save list now and give it its best shot. That's what I've said really since the time we reintroduced it is, you know, I appreciate the school district and the school board's partnership in that and seeing the value of hey, let's work as two bodies that the bottom line for the city or the school district isn't profit. The bottom line is what's good for the community. And so this will at least give us that opportunity where we'll do a structural assessment. We'll, you know, look at what our options are. I will tell people flat out right now, we make no promises that if we were to purchase this building, it would be fixed up and some would be in it in a year or even 2 years. This could be a long game of historical tax credits, the National Register, things like that, which are well worth the effort. But I don't want anybody to say, well, they bought Gibson and then in six months, why hasn't somebody gone in the building? That may not be the case here. And we do have some serious questions about the structure. But here's the good news. We're going to do that work. And if for some reason it doesn't work out, obviously the school board's got more information. We have more information. And if someone else needs to step in long term and let us help preserve the building in some way with some incentive, maybe that's what we do. So this is really the start of the process so we can start learning exactly the best path forward. But I'm excited and certainly appreciative of the school district's support and seeing what we can make happen.
Yeah, big news. Can you, as a sports writer, give me the guy who's been trying to understand and does not understand the America's Cup? I don't get the structure. I don't get what I should be paying attention to and what I should be ignoring. What is happening and when is it happening? And just like as a total, I see all the news. They won this. They lost this. And I don't know what any of it means. Can you help me?
Sure. I can. I've given this enough to my friends now. I can probably do it real quick. So imagine if the Super Bowl winner in the NFL was automatically in the next Super Bowl. They got to pick where it is. They got to pick the size of the football, how many yards for a first down. That's basically the America's Cup for New Zealand. So when you win, you're the defender. You get to decide everything.
Okay.
So there's four teams battling out to be the challenger to New Zealand. So we're in semifinals right now, Italy versus U.S. When I say right now, literally as me and you are on this radio show, and then Great Britain and Switzerland. Great Britain went up four races to none. It's first to five, best of nine, however you want to say it.
Okay.
But Great Britain went up 4-0. Italy went up 4-0, unfortunately, on the U.S., but we clawed one back last time, so it's 4-1. They've got to win the next four, and they got two today. So. And they're actually in the water, unless there's a wind delay, they're in the water right now.
Got
so
it.
You can go on ESPN Plus and watch it, folks out there. But they've got a long road ahead for them to battle back, but they're still alive.
Okay, so if they can come back here and if they can win the next round, what you might call the semifinals, then they get to challenge New Zealand. If they can win that, they win the America's Cup, it comes back here and they make all the rules.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
all right. Correct. No, so I didn't understand that. So I appreciate you. That's why I wanted to, I knew the part about they get to bring it back here if they win it all, but I really did not understand how we get from here to there. And so I appreciate that. We always like to end with a lightning round, frivolous topic, whatever you want to call it. First question from Mayor D.C. Reeves. When you cook noodles, linguine, angel hair, fettuccine, long, flat, pre-made noodles, not fresh, do you break them or do you put them in intact?
Back in my younger days, I used to just let it ride. I'd leave them the full length and then they would be burned on the other end. and so now I'm just to break them in half, do the best I can.
Okay. So you know, they're not sacred in any way for you these days.
Right. Yeah.
Okay,
more responsible,
it.
You know, for fire.
That.
Yeah.
Do you go out to eat alone? Do you think there's anything strange about going out to eat alone?
Only if I'm like on like a business trip or something like that, that happens often, especially back in sports writing days. So maybe that's why I don't think it's that weird, And sometimes it's nice to, have a minute to yourself.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. No, I agree. It's relaxing. So it's a good way.
I don't think it's weird.
And then the last one is when you go to the store, let's say you go to Winn-Dixie or to Publix, and you have that metal wire thing that's got the wheels on it that you push around into which you put the groceries, what is that thing called?
A cart.
Yes, my man.
What is it? What is the other one?
Buggy. People call it a buggy, grocery buggy or a shopping buggy. Some people call it a basket, but all true believers call it a cart. So I appreciate that. Well done.
Well, it's not a basket, Andrew. That's the problem. it's clearly a cart.
And also a horse isn't pulling it, so it's not a buggy.
That is true. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Mayor D.C., they tell me it's a Southern thing, but not all Southerners call it a buggy. So I think I'm open to making the case as a Northerner. Mayor Reeves, always a pleasure to talk to you. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Feel dumb now, don't you, John?
No, I don't.
Just kidding. No, the number of Southerners who say that's what they say cracks me up. So, and yeah, I'm just not the word. This was a frivolous topic we did the other day. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're, hey, look, the Fed cut rates, right? They, or a half a basis point. So what does that mean for the housing market? Does that mean that, mortgage rates are going to go down? Yes, eventually, slowly. What does that mean for other things? Well, I mean, all of that's to be decided, right? All of that is a kind of a complicated relationship between what happened yesterday and everything else. So what does it mean for you if you're buying or selling a home? Great question. Don't ask me. I mean, you can ask me. I'll give you my opinion. But why would you ask me when I'm not a professional realtor? Christina Leavenworth, she is. You know, what does the recent decision that, you can separate or change the rates that are charged by the realtor, the buying and the selling agent, what does that mean for a home purchase or sale? What about the home insurance market, which in Florida is, what's the word I want, terrible, right? And, means that, for example, selling a home with a 7-year-old water heater, you might have to replace it, or a 10-year-old roof, you might have to replace it. Well, how does that factor into what you can sell a house for, or what you should expect to take on as costs in selling a house or in buying a house? Hey, good questions. Don't ask me. Ask Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. She'll answer. They'll answer. They'll make it simple for you. They'll help you understand this complicated stuff, stuff that might have never been a question before, but now all of a sudden is a big part of buying or selling a home. 775 homes they sold last year. Her phone number is 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The Florida Department of Health in Escambia County works to protect, promote, and improve the health of the community and is always focusing on the importance of public health awareness and preparedness. For more information on resources to improve the health of your community, contact your local Escambia County Health Department online at escambiahealth.com or follow Escambia Health Department on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Healthy Escambia.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Word, I pull the trigger long, grip my teeth. I think I might know all the words to this song. I think I might. There are a handful of rap songs from the 90s that, at least our late 80s. I may know all the words to, and that might be one of them. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, while we're talking about rap music, I guess, Sean Diddy Combs, he'll be remaining in jail as he goes on trial for sex trafficking and racketeering charges. He was in court yesterday in Manhattan, he was appealing Tuesday's decision that he be held without bail, but he'll be staying in jail.
Hustler, word, and pull the trigger long.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.